Praise of the Lord. I think this is on. This one, right? Yes? No? Everybody hear me? Okay. Praise God. Awesome. Got a wife. Praise God. She helps me a lot. All of you men, it's a good thing. They help you a lot. Her name's Maylon. And two kids, Nathan, 15, Naomi, 14, and they're at home. And I'm from the state of Ohio. Anybody else? And they lost last night in the tournament. But my emotions and feelings are secure in the Lord, and He reigns, so I'm good to go. I'm okay. We are going to go ahead and turn to Numbers. And see, they told me to look back here. Yeah, okay. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that up for you. So if you guys want to bring up your phones, please get a Bible app on your phone. I'm sure there's maybe some Bibles in the pew or that. Get a hard copy, and we'll go to this, point it, nope, turn it on. Thank you. There we go. We'll go to that. That is just huge. No, I'm joking. So that's why you're getting your phone in that. But let's go ahead and read through this, and then we'll begin today. It says, now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the place was called Teberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, onions, and garlic. Interesting diet. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The manna was like colander seed and looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then around ground it into hand meal and crushed it into mortar. They cooked it in pots and made it into loaves. And it tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled in the camp at night, the manna came down, and Moses heard about the people from every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry in Moses' trouble. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put this burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant, the land you promised on the oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep on wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. This is how you're going to treat me, God. Just go ahead and kill me. If I had found favor in the eyes, do not let me face my own ruin. Verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 72 elders, and we go on. Just like to jump down to verse 19, you'll not eat it for one more day, 2 days, 5 days, 10 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and you have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Today we're going to talk about the subject of complaining. And I usually speak for 40 to 50 minutes, but I have 25 minutes. I'm not complaining. I love dad jokes. How many of you love dad jokes? You're like, oh, man, those are bad. That's why they're dad jokes. When you cross, and I don't know if I've done this one before, but if you cross a snail and a porcupine, what do you get? Slowpoke. Good job. I think I heard it. Slowpoke, okay? And when you cross a stream or a river, what do you get? Wet feet. Okay, those were bad. But we're going to go into this today. We're going to start here. If you study the book of Numbers, you will see that they are on a journey. And they are a journey to get to God's purposes for them, which is called the Promised Land. So basically, Numbers is a journey to get to one's purpose, God-given purpose. And today we look at an obstacle that comes in our way, blockades us from reaching God's purpose for our lives and for the lives of the world. If you look at this, it says, now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. When he heard them, his anger was aroused. Fire came down and burned up and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. People cried out to Moses, and he prayed, and the fire died down. The place was called Taberah. We look at the obstacle, and this number one obstacle that comes up as you seek it to fulfill the purpose of God is complaining. Number one, write this down. Complaining blocks us from fulfilling the purposes of God. So right now what you're doing is you're pulling out your phone or something, or, you know, with all of you, this amazing memory with my 52 points that will come up, you will get it. Otherwise, you can write it down. I encourage you to write it down. Complaining blocks me from fulfilling the purpose of God. What is complaining? Complaining is criticizing, griping, grumbling, moaning, opposing, protesting. It is disapproving. It's fussing. It is growling. Or you have the bitter wife nagging, wailing, whimpering, whining. All of these can show that one is complaining. Philippians 2:14 commands us to do everything without grumbling and complaining. It is really hard to shine in this world when you are grumbling. Now, like, if you could just agree with me, because I actually do this, can you agree with me that we all grumble sometime in our life? And you may not know, you may have only done it once when you came out from the mother's womb and saw the life. And, something's wrong, I don't like this. Or when you're younger or when you're older, it's just part of us. We have the gift of grumbling, we have the potential of pouting. I'm personally guilty of this. It's too cold. Summer, it's too hot. I told my mom once, I love Lucky Charms, buy me Lucky Charms. She must have bought 10 boxes. I was like, can you not buy Lucky Charms anymore? Somehow from my mom and dad, I'm gifted with the gift of moles, those little spots. They are all over my body. Places that I don't even understand they're there. Why, oh Lord? Praise God, some woman married me. My daughter has acquired the same thing and asked the same question. When you're not married, you want to get married. Lord, why not I'm married? Once you get married, like, Lord, why am I married? It is confusing. We complain, we wail, because it makes us feel a little bit better, right? At least for a moment. But if you continue to complain, it makes you not better, but bitter. Number two that you can write down, complaining blocks us from staying on the journey. Not only does it block us from fulfilling or going on that journey, but actually staying on the journey. On this journey through Numbers, if you are to glance back and look through chapters 1 through 10, you will find something interesting. I am sorry, this next slide is so small. You will find in chapter 1 that it says the Israelites did all that just as the Lord commanded them, they obeyed. Verse chapter 2, the Israelites did everything the Lord commanded Moses, they obeyed. Chapter 3, they obeyed the commands of the word of the Lord, they obeyed. Chapter 4, they were counted and they obeyed the word of the Lord, they obeyed. Chapter 5, they obeyed. Chapter 9 is awesome. The cloud moves and the people follow it and obey. The cloud stops and the people stop when God stops and they obey. Chapter 10, it says they obey. They obey, they obey, they obey, they obey, they obey, they obey. They are following the Lord. Chapter 11, a major shift. A major, major shift. Sorry, I got to go through all these. Whoops. Complaining entered in. The major shift now was affecting their entire journey. They are heading, their trajectory is the purposes of God, obeying God, loving God, getting to the promises of God, and then all of a sudden enters complaining. Let's go the other way. My trajectory, my journey, my purpose, everything that was for God now is heading a different direction because of this one word, complaining, which if you look up is more translated murmur. The other thing that we notice is that if you're to read through this, that the Lord's anger comes up. The Lord's anger, when they heard about, when God heard them wailing, his anger was aroused, and then all of a sudden there's fire that comes down. And we see that complaining brings God's anger. Now, again, we have to be clear on this. We're not talking about evaluating, okay? Like now you're evaluating my tie. It's too red, and then you're okay with that. Or he's talking too loud. Why is this guy yelling, okay? But you're just evaluating. Or we're not talking about expressing our feelings here. This is not what we're talking about when we're saying complain. In Psalms, we know a person is expressing, my enemies are destroying me and my nation and the people. And God, I just want to tell you, we're not talking about that when we talk about complaining. This is about an attitude of a heart that all of a sudden switches for being for God and for the people, and now it becomes against, becomes bitter, becomes angry. So God, all of a sudden, he shows that he becomes angry. That this complaining brings about the anger of God. And it's displayed through fire. Hence, we get the English phrase, he burned with anger. God's burning with anger. So we have to ask, why does complaining in this way bring about such a strong reaction from the Lord? Because of what we talked about. It affects the purpose, the goal, loving the world, loving people, bringing love, bringing grace, and all of a sudden, I don't want to anymore. I want to go the way that I go. The people are like, we're going to the promised land. God says it's good for you. Like, we don't want that. We want to go back to Egypt. There's freedom here. We'd rather be slaves and have onions and garlic. Life is hard like that, right? Some of you probably have just graduated and you got a job and like, nobody told me that I feel this way. And make these, well, you go to classes and no one told me I'd be feeling this way and bitterness and complaint. No one told me when I got married that this is what my heart would be complaining about. This whole complaining shifts our life. It blocks God's purposes. These phrases are interesting because it talks about they complained about the hardship in the Lord's hearing. Basically, they're coming before the Lord, and this hardship actually means evil. And they're saying, I'm complaining that God, your direction, your purpose, where you're leading us, how you're treating us is evil. So if I was to say to you, what you're doing, what you're saying, where you're leading me is evil, you're saying, I'm evil. They're saying, God, you are not good, and this is why God takes offense. You are evil. It's deep. My dad's a farmer. Anybody else out there? Farmer? Mom and dad, farmer? Anybody ever touch soil? There we go, praise God. Farming is hard work. Summer, Dad wake me up, 5:30, go out. We were just grain farmers. He had animals before. He got rid of those because there's so much work, praise God. I'd get on the tractor at 6, and I'd farm. I'd get off a little bit for lunch. I'd get off a little bit for dinner, and I'd go home 9, 10 o'clock at night. My dad loved farming. He not only worked in town, but he was a farmer of 500 to 600 acres. He'd come home from work, he'd go farm, his what we call town job, and then his farm job. And I remember all he's trying to do is bring in the harvest, put food on the table, do what he loves. And I'm like, Dad, this is when I was young. I was a teenager. I was like, Dad, you're dumb. We work so many hours. We don't get a lot of money for this. It's back during the Carter days. Somehow things were messed up with the economy. We work so hard and sweat. We get very little. Old man, you're just not too smart. This was against his very essence. This was against what he was trying to do, to put food on the table, to do good things for his son, his daughter, his wife. And now I'm saying, you're evil. From the complaining in my heart. It's interesting that they actually name the location of where the fire comes down. If you were to examine the camp as they moved from Egypt towards the promised land, there was, in the center of the camp, the tabernacle. Where the tabernacle was is where God dwelled. When the camp came down, there was north, south, east, west. There was basically, we could just say, a circle around, and in the center was the tabernacle. And it says the fire came down where? And burned where? On the outskirts of the camp. You ever been complaining against God or against a person? When you're complaining, either you're moving towards them to like destroy them, which we just talked about, or you're moving away. Usually you're moving away. When you start complaining, all of a sudden it places you in a dangerous place that now you're on the edge. In the marriage, I'm going to leave. It places you in a place of bitterness on the edge in the church. I'm going to leave. It places you on the outskirts. And God's always saying, come back close. I know things aren't perfect. Probably never will be. But there's a heart that can change when you come near. The fire comes down on the outskirts. Don't live in that dangerous place. Come back close to God. When I lived in Taiwan, there as a pastor for 7 years, it was hot. It was crazy hot. And I don't know, because my wife was Taiwanese or we just weren't too smart, we didn't run the air conditioner because the neighbors and everybody else didn't run the air conditioner. And I still remember just working on my sermons. It was like drip. And you can almost count like 15 seconds later. Drip. I'm like, this is annoying. Even trying to park my scooter, like I have to move other scooters to get my little scooter in there. You'd be walking, just trying to look around the city, and then, oh, whose dog went there? I got it on my foot. God, I don't like this place. One time I got stomach flu. Actually, it was during a marriage conference 10 days later. Ooh, if any of you had stomach flu, you know, things flow out pretty quick. 10 days is a long time. God, why am I here? I don't want to be here. My heart started to become bitter. I remember coming back to my mom and dad's house in Ohio, and I needed time with Jesus, so I went down to the basement. And this isn't a nice furnished basement. This is one of those old house basements. Floor is not too nice, but I got on my knees. He says, you know, you're not complaining just about Taiwan. You're complaining against me. My purpose for you. You're complaining about what will bring life to the world. Complaining does a lot of things. Complaining turns us against God. It shifts and moves us away from God and turns us against God. Complaining shifts our life away from God and His purposes. Better wait on that one. When we go to verse 4 through 6, we read stuff like this. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing. He said, if only we had meat to eat. Something about this meat. Remember, we ate fish in Egypt. cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. All we got this manna stuff. Verse 10, Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. You ever heard a kid wail? How many of you got kids? You ever heard them whine for more than a minute? They're not hurt. They're fed. Diapers changed. Everything's good. And that was only 10 seconds, and you're like, stop. Wailing drives you crazy. Murmuring, complaining, whining. I remember my kid when they got older, right? That's two or three. They can start to communicate. I don't like that. And then I'd start my commercial. Call right now, 1-800-WINE, and you too can become a professional whiner and try to manipulate your mom and dad to get whatever you want. You call right now, we'll give you two videos for free so you can share with your friends and they can learn how to whine too. I think the kid probably didn't understand. He's probably looking at me like, what are you talking about? I'm actually a pretty good dad, but I get a little weird that way. Babies cry usually for four reasons. One's a diaper change. Two is they're hurt. Three is they're hungry. And four, they just not getting what they want. Those kids were cute. And there was one little girl. She was a drama queen. She was cute too. For the Israelites, it's not the first two. They don't need a diaper change. That's not why they're whining. And they're not hurt. We're not getting into education. And it's not number three. They're not hungry because they say they got plenty of manna. So it must be number four. I'm just not getting what I want. I'm not satisfied. And I'm not content. It's hard to stay content, isn't it? You ever get a bunch of babies together? You know, you got a baby room, you drop the new kid off, mom walks out, and mama. And the other kid's like, Another kid's like, And then pretty like, what went wrong? This is the next point, I think. Somewhere it comes up there. Complaining spreads. Murmuring spreads. This is what he's saying is now all of a sudden they're all at the entrance to their tents wailing together. There's something about when we have something to complain about, a bitterness, we can only so long inside and then we got to find somebody. I got to talk to you. Come on. I'm going to tell you all of my problems, you know, everything that they've done wrong, and we're going to get together. And then I'm going to feel better. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know how we do this? And they're kind of like, okay, yeah. And then all of a sudden they start agreeing. And then they're complaining. And then these two spread. And they got four. Then it goes to, somebody help me, 8. And then 16, right? Somebody help me. 32 and 64. 128. 256. 512. 1024. I'm done. Complaining spreads. We try to seek someone out to complain. My complaining causes others complaining. And then we go back. It all of a sudden changes their whole trajectory, shifts them away from God, shifts them from the purpose of God. No more love, no more purpose, no more grace. I'm just going to live for. All of these complaining are connected to some different danger zones. And a lot of these, in a way, are connected to expectations that are unfulfilled, and that's sort of how it works. One is entitlement. It's a difficult one, right? Been working in the company 30 years, some other guy gets the promotion. Ouch. Wife's going to hear about this one. It even happened in the church. I'm older. I've served longer. Because I've served longer, I'm entitled to this. I have the degree. They don't. I should be entitled. And then when we don't get what we did, look at the time I gave, look at the money I gave, look at the sacrifice I gave. I should have this. We're bitter, we're angry, which is the next point. It's always connected to bitterness. It's hard. Maybe that's why they talk about like garlic or onions or I don't know. I know a lot of you guys like garlic and stuff. Isn't there like a melon called kugwa? Yeah, kugwa. It's connected to self-pity. I used to have pity parties. It's what I did in that basement. That's why I was, God, I'm sweating and I got stomach issues and like this is so hard. And connected to discouragement. Just to get discouraged. It's not good to be discouraged. That's why God tells you, encourage one another. Encourage one another because it fights against this complaining. The fact is, God, life is not perfect. I don't get always what I want. Brother, press on. Keep going. I encourage you. Don't give up. You can turn around, but I'll guarantee you this way, it's not going to get much better. It's not going to be perfect. You might serve yourself for a while, but you'll find similar stuff. What's the problem with complaining? As we look through this, Moses heard the people of every family wailing the entrance of their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, so Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? Why have you done to displease you? Verse 12, did I conceive these people? Did I give them birth? Hey, where can I get meat for these people? They keep saying, give us meat to eat. I can't carry these people by myself. It's really sad, verse 15. This is how they're going to treat me. Go ahead and kill me. Just do me in. I can't handle the complaining. Complaining causes leaders to complain. I wish it didn't work like this, like complaining always went up because like I'm a pastor and so complaining always comes to me. But then I can start to complain. And I'm the guy leading the group. Hey, follow me. Follow me. Ah, they're complaining. Everybody, let's just go home. Let's just go back to Egypt. Get some garlic there. Freedom, hey, let's be slaves. Could be your husband. Could be your small group leader. Like, man, I give them pizza every week and they just complain about it. I'll give them nothing. All of a sudden, everybody's, again, off trajectory, off of purpose. Living for themselves, not God. Guess I didn't put that one in there. Yeah, I just want to remind us that, again, we're not talking about complaining. It's not evaluating that he's talking about. It's not expressing our struggles. It has to do with the attitude that all of a sudden we're against God. We're against the people around us. We're against our wife or our husband. We're against our family. We're against our small group. We're against our boss. And we don't want to build them up. We just want to tear them down, spit them out, get them out of the line of our sight so that we can do what we want to do. Their main complaining is interesting because there's one area that they're complaining about, right? How many of you are foodies? Okay, just go ahead, be honest. Like, you know the 20 different coffees that are out there. I have no idea. Like, give me coffee. You want black? Yeah, I don't know. Just give me coffee. I came back from Taiwan. I went to the grocery store, walked into the cereal aisle. I'm like, man, when did they double the different types of cereal? I just want my mini wheats. Okay, thank you. Their main complaint is about food. We don't want this manna. We don't want food. We want something better. We want steaks. Yeah. Some of you are thinking about lunch. Stay with me. Come back. Come back. What is the problem with complaining? What ends up happening right here as you look at it is there is a rejection of the Lord. the leader, but Moses just following God. He's just obeying God. He's telling the people, obey God. And all of a sudden, God's saying, hey, where are you guys going? Don't go that way. Come back. And all of a sudden, there's a direct rejection of God. There's a direct rejection of his very presence and what he's trying to provide. I'm going to provide you the promised land and something new. And they're like, I'm sorry, promised land, something new. And they're like, no, we don't want something new and better. We just want to go back to Egypt. They're rejecting his very provision. Manna was God's provision, and that's why it was put into the ark as one of the three things that are in there. Shows God's provision. You know, if we're honest, if I'm honest with myself, and if you're honest with yourself, we don't want God's provision. We want our preference. Did you hear that? God says, here's the man for you, honey. You've been praying for him. I don't want him. I want someone stronger. I want someone more handsome. Been to the Ivy League school. Is the top, you know, three jobs. God, I don't want your provision. I want my preference. You ever have that thing called a love feast here? Do they do that here where you eat afterwards? No? Nobody's connecting. Love feast. When I was in Lexington, Kentucky at the Chinese church, we always called it love feast. Some like I-U-N or something? No? No? Well, anyhow, there. Every time we had that love feast, lunch afterwards, there's not enough meat. Some other lady. My little Johnny, she needs more vegetables. Can't please everyone. Like, can you just be thankful? Or this isn't even about the food. It's a love feast. It's supposed to be loving one another. Talk to one another. Church is a difficult one, right? I don't want the provision. I like my preferences. I like a guy who talks for 14 and a half minutes. I don't know, there's so many different things. I like pews that are very padded. That's me. I like that. I like a pastor like this, small group leader like this. It's okay to have your preference, but you got to watch your heart and the bitterness, the complaining. We have to be careful of living outside of maybe what God has given us. That's a difficult one. They had rejected his very lordship over their life and the obedience that he was calling them to into a land where they needed to be. You guys could just bow your heads and pray with me. God, we can play piano. Thank you, sir. God, we want to just come before you. And we don't want to be fake. We want to be honest. There's someone out there today. There's not much of a week that goes by for me, to be honest, that complaining doesn't pop up. And God, we want to right now balance it out, work it out with thankfulness. In the morning when we wake up, God, we would say, thank you that I have another day to live. And I thank you that today it's not about my purpose in making money at work, but it's about your purpose to talk to that man or that woman who is hurting, who needs to go out and have a steak with me so we can share. And when we wake up in the morning, Lord, that we can be thankful for the wife or the husband you gave us. That when we were dating, we were like, they are awesome. But now, where has the awesomeness gone? But it's still right there. For those who are parents, Lord, when we wake up in the morning, we can be thankful for the one, the two, the three, the four kids that are really blessings from heaven. Though some days we're just tired, and some days we're sad. Lord, that we can thank you for the college that you placed us in, because it's not about getting the grade and the future job. It is about forming of the character that you're doing and the men and women there who need your grace and your love. And so, God, would you keep us heading down your road, on your journey, to your purpose, to the love that's flowing through us, to the grace that's coming through us to the world, Lord, and not let us complain or compare or look for just comfort and convenience, but let us look to you as our Lord and be obedient to you. And in this, Lord, we will be satisfied. We will be content. And we will smile and say, Jesus, you are enough for me. You are enough for me. Reign through me and in this world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I don't know. I'll just let Pastor Paul come up and take over. Maybe we have enough time for whatever needs to be done. Maybe not.